Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 25. It's where we're going to start tonight. Last week we went through Psalm 119, verses 17 through 24, and the psalmist was in amazement at God's wondrous word. And we need to open up our insight of God through His word, because that's how we know God. That's how we know God. And we will not know everything until we stand face to face with our Savior, and then we will be known as He is known. So, in verses 17 through 20 in review, I talked about being open to the Word. There was a prayer for blessing. He says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that to give spiritual life that I may live, and to sustain spiritual life that I could keep thy Word. And then there is a prayer to see God's wondrous works. Okay, I think I doubled. There we go. In verse 18, God allows us to see the wondrous things of God. And what that should do is just whet our appetites so we would want to know even more about Him. And then things that point to God's creation, redemptive action, are the things of His works. Basically, it's all that God does are creative and redemptive actions. It's things that only God can do because He's God and God alone. And then we talked about Christ's most frequent miracle was opening blind eyes. In a physical sense, but He needs to open blind eyes in a spiritual sense also. And He can if you just cry out to Him. It's a prayer that the world cannot answer. The man, carnal man, does not understand the things of God. And we need to understand that. And then there should be a desire in verse 20 to see the prayer answered. Then we also know that when God's word goes forward, there's always opposition. God rebukes the arrogant in verse 21 for their pride and also for their waywardness. There's a prayer in verse 22 to God when opposed for encouragement. When things go against you, you need to pray to God for encouragement, okay? That we can be able to endure the trial, that our faith can grow, that we would want to know more about God. And then a prayer to God when opposed, when we are faithful. And then lastly, we see God's word is a refuge when pressured publicly. Verse 23 says that princes also did sit and speak against Him. And so we see that today. And then also when we meditate on His statutes, we can find rest and peace in God's Word. And then lastly, God's Word will make a difference if you allow it to. Okay? When it is our focus and it is our counselor. Okay? Because it says here, he says, thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. So we can see how the psalmist feels about the Word of God. And folks, that's how every Christian should feel about the Word of God. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. It's amazing. It's faithful. It's truth. It's all those things. You know, we need to be in wonder at the wonder of His Word. And then we close with the verse out of Job, that Job esteemed the words of his mouth more than his own necessary food. So tonight we're going to be looking at verses 25 through 32, and we're going to look at the theme of the Word of God revives us. The Word of God revives us. And I didn't change that, but basically the issue is God's Word quickens us, okay, and changes us from when things are all going bad to making us alive in Him. The alphabet word for this one is Daleth. Daleth means door. And when you think of the door, you think of Christ. Okay? You think of God. He is the only way to heaven. He is the door to the sheep. He is to the sheepfold. He's all those things. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And He wants us to open the door. And there's several things that we're going to see in here about how the psalmist reacts to the Word of God. He wants to run to it. He wants to walk in it. He wants to delight in it some more. And we're going to see some other things here. So in verses 25 through 32, the passage goes like this. It says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy what? Wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we just ask that your word would just come alive to us tonight, that it will do its intended purpose and not go void. Father, I just pray that you just help us, Lord, just to make decisions, Lord, that will honor you and that will make us more like you for your glory and your honor. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have three main points in this. In verse 25, we see a request. We see a request. He is praying. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Have you ever had those situations where you just feel that you're just all tied up in knots? Okay? Where you just feel that there's nothing going right? When you feel that everything that you touch goes bad, everything you hear is bad news? This is where the psalmist is tonight. He cries out in woe in the first part of this. He says, "My soul clings." It says cleaveth, but it says, "My soul clings unto the dust." He's down basically in absolute grief. And we're going to see more of this. So this is actually a prayer. This passage right here is a prayer. In Psalm 44, verse 25, the same word. When it says, "For our soul," this was a national problem. It says, "For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth to the earth." You know, when someone is knocked down, they're what? Flat on the ground, right? And so here's the psalmist. Everything around him is knocking him down. Okay? And so he needs some help because he's in a serious state. So we see the woe. The want is to do what? He says, "Quicken thou me." He's basically saying, "I'm dying out here. Nothing's going right. Everything I see is wrong." And he says, "I need you to quicken me." In John chapter 6, verse 53, Christ says this, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." And it says, "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." I actually think that's verse 63. But it says, but we see the want. He says, "Okay, I'm up for dead. Everything's going wrong. Quicken me." Because he's the only one that can. He's the only one that the psalmist is looking at to get out of this issue. You know, how many times have we got in this malaise and we tried to do everything we can to get out of it? You know, the woman that had the issue of blood, what did she do? For years, for 12 years, she goes from doctor to doctor. She spends all of her money to try to get this disease rid from her. And it says it never got better, it just got what? Worse. And then she said, "Ah, I hear Jesus. And if I can come and just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." Oh, folks, she wanted to touch Jesus. Folks, we need to want to touch God. Amen. Especially when things aren't going the way we think they should go. So it says here, the woe, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust, and then the want, quicken thou me. God, quicken thou me. And then the last thing is the way, according to thy word. We keep on seeing this recurring theme about the way. And the way of God is connected to his word. The way of God is connected to his word. In verse 9 of Psalm 119, we've already studied this, wherewithal shall a young man what? Cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to the what?
My word.
Psalm 119 talks about the ministry of the word. So we see this request. He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Now, he goes into specifics here. In verses 26 and 20 to 29, we see these realizations that he comes to in his life. And he comes to basically four of them. And these are things that we ought to declare to God ourselves. In verse 26, he says, I need to be taught by God. I need to be taught by God. You know, we all want to learn. We all want to learn how to do things. But the most important thing we need to learn is the word of God. And so he says here in verse, he says, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. So we see his confession. Now, obviously, there's probably some sin confession in here. But he's also in a terrible strait. His soul is cleaving to the dust. He says, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm just basically up for dead. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And so he makes it, says, I have declared my ways. God, you know where I am. And folks, do we do that? God wants to hear us verbalize to him what he already knows.
Right.
So we know it too.
Right.
So we know it too. So he says, aha, you recognize this, and now I can deal with this. In Psalm 119:53, he says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto what? Thy testimonies. Folks, when we see ourselves in a pickle, that ought to cause us to look to God. Okay? That ought to cause us to look to God. He asked for God's consideration here. He says, thou hearest me, teach me thy statutes. See, when we cry out to God, he does hear. He will hear the prayer of a sinner asking for repentance. He will hear the prayer of his children asking for help. We talked about in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can boldly approach the what? The throne of grace to find mercy and help help in time of need. He helps. And how does he help? He says, teach me thy statutes. We all know this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says this. All. Now what does all mean? All. Okay? It means all. Okay? All scripture. All the word of God. Okay? Is given by inspiration of God. It's not man's thinking. It's God's thinking. And we need to have God teach us. And we need to ask him to teach us more.
Right.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what?
Profitable.
Profitable. Okay? When we talked about the want that the psalmist had in verse 25, he says, the flesh profiteth you what? Nothing. He says, my words are what? Life. My words are life. He says, and profitable for doctrine. That's something that you could believe in. Do we know what we believe? Good question. For reproof. So we can get corrected and get back on the way. Okay? For correction. For instruction in righteousness. So the first realization, verse 26, he says, I need to be taught of God. He says, teach me thy statutes. I declare my ways. You know exactly what pickle I'm in. God. You know exactly all my members and what's going on. Jeremiah said it. David said it. Isaiah said it. All the prophets of the Old Testament said it. Paul said it. So, I need to be taught by God. The second thing is, so it's one thing to be taught, but it's another thing to what? To understand. Now, you can teach in a classroom until you're blue in the face. But if people don't understand, nothing happens. You can come to church all your life and hear the Word of God. But if you never apply it to your life, nothing changes. And what we need to do is not only ask God to teach us, we need to ask God to say, "This, apply this to my life. Help me to understand you more. Help me to understand you more." Now, the only way to understand God is from God. Divine help is needed. I want to go to this word for understand here. It's also used in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel's been given this vision. Daniel's been praying. He says, "I don't understand. I don't understand what this means. Vision came from God, so I'll go ask God." Okay? And then there's this issue about this angel coming, Gabriel coming to him. God wants you to understand him. That's his goal for us. So we know his will, we know his way, we can glorify him, we can be conformed to his image. So in Daniel chapter 10, verse 14, the angel says, "Now I am come to make thee what?
Understand.
You know, there are some mysteries in the scripture, and they will stay mysteries. Okay? But the things that God wants you to know, he wants you to know. He wants you to know. I was reading through Acts chapter 10 today. And Peter and the issue of Cornelius. And how Peter, you know, in his pride and his Jewish heritage, he would never talk to a Gentile until God sent the sheet down with all these unclean animals. He said, "Kill and eat." And Peter said, Nope. And then God said, "What?" So he didn't understand. And God said, "What?" He says, "What I have cleansed, don't call common." How many times did he do it?
Three.
I think every time that Peter is God, it all comes up in threes. I wonder why. You think he's trying to get his attention? And then there's what? Three men that come and knock on the door to get him to understand that he needed to go to the Gentiles. And so he goes to Cornelius. And as he speaks, it's not an issue. It's not an issue of them declaring Christ. It's an issue of the Holy Spirit coming down and filling that place up where Peter can see. He understands now. He understands now. And so they all get saved in the house. Because Cornelius had a whole big party of people here to hear the word. And you know, the very next thing that happened to Peter is all those dudes and the Jews in Jerusalem called him down on the carpet and said, "Why did you go to the Gentiles?" That's Acts chapter 11. "Why did you do that?" And then Peter said, "Wait a second. You need to understand too. We all need to understand. We need divine help to understand the purposes and the plan of God." And so divine help is needed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." In John, it says, "But the Spirit will" what? "Teach you all things and guide you into" what? "All truth." Okay? "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the" what? "The deep things of God." Knowing God's wondrous works should cause us to want to go deeper into God's Word. It would want us to have a better, deeper relationship to Him. wants us to go and dig this out like a treasure, like a pearl of great price, like all those parables he's talking about. Searches all, yea, the deep things of God. So I need to understand God more. And you haven't arrived. I have this kid. Now I have to tell you. I have this kid. He's called the Math Whiz. 9 times out of 10, he's wrong. He's wrong. And I tell the class, I said, don't listen to him. He's wrong. He has a superficial knowledge of math. Okay? There's a lot of Christians that have a superficial knowledge of God. They're the shallow Christians. And when tribulation comes, they get offended. Because faith is hard. Because faith is hard. So, depth of understanding should be our desire. He says, I have declared my ways, and thou hearest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Okay? So depth of understanding is desired. We go back a couple of verses. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that what? That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, even the deep things of God. And the deeper you go, the more you want to know. So, I need to be taught by God. That should be our prayer daily. God, I need you to teach me today what I need to know. But not only that, the second thing is, God, I need to understand. I need to understand this so I can apply it to my life. Verse 28. I need God's strength. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Melteth here means to drop, like tears are dropping. Okay? He says, I need God's strength, especially in times of grief that man cannot fix. Folks, the government can't fix your problem, God can. Because God can fix the government. So how did this start off? He said, my soul cleaveth in the dust. He says, I need to be taught by you, God. I need to understand this. But then he goes on, he says, I need your strength. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me. How? According to unto thy word. In times of grief that man cannot fix. Job chapter 16, verse 10. It says, my friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. It's the exact same word that's translated melted here. The exact same word is translated melted. So it's pouring out. It's dropping down. It's emptying yourself. God, teach me. Help me to understand. Why am I in the pickle I'm in? And help me out. Because you're the only one. Because man can't fix my problem. Man can't fix my problem. You know why? Because Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13 says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. The writer of Proverbs here is saying, look, he says, I try to cheer myself up. I have other people kind of come cheer me up. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. He says, even the laughter of my heart is sorrow. And the end of that mirth is what? Heaviness. So he says, I need God's strength in times of grief that man cannot fix. Why? Why? To be able to stand through the grief for God. There are so many people that give up. When what we really need to do is give in to God. I just give up. I said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. The psalmist is saying, hey, I'm as good as dead. Kind of saying, I'm not, it's not worth it. Psalm chapter 40, verse 2, a very familiar one. This issue for strengthen is to stand. It's to stand when things are going wrong. It's to stand firm. It's to stand upright. It's to do those things. He brought me up out of a what? Horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. Okay? And set, the same word. And set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. When things get goofy, they're still God. When things get tough, they're still God. When you're just filled of grief, they're still God. God can remove all those things. Teach me, God. I need to be taught by you. I need to understand you more. I need to realize that your strength is all I need to get through the junk that I'm going through in my life. The fourth thing, I need truth. Folks, the world is trying to live a lie and live in lies. I need truth, okay, from me. What does he say? He says, remove from me the way of lying. This thing has two parts to it. The first one is, stop me from lying. Help me to be truthful, okay? So, I need truth from me. I need to get away the lying ways out of me and tell truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, wherefore what? Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This is what I need to do. This is what the psalmist is also saying. He says, remove from me the way from lying. Internally. But you know, there's a second application of this. I need truth toward me. Aren't you tired of people lying to you? I tell you what, it's almost to the point you can't trust anybody. And it doesn't matter what moniker you put on yourself. I've had Christians lie to me just as bad as I've had non-Christians lie to me. And it doesn't bother anybody. I had that situation today. And it drives me nuts. And I know that person was lying to me. And that person knew I knew that she's lying. But you know something? Didn't stop. He says, look. Remove from me the way of lying. Clean me up. And clean my situation up too. Okay? Get all this lying from around. I want to see truth. The only truth that you can see that you know is truth is from God. That sounds pretty fanatical. Yep. Okay? I need truth towards me from others. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 16 says, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of what? Truth and peace in your gates. Okay? Not only do we need to speak truth, we need to speak the truth of judgment. Which means we need to identify situations and see where the truth is and apply the truth to it. So I need truth from me. Take away lying from me. I need truth toward me from other people, especially the people of God. And then I need truth, most of all, from God. I need truth most of all from God. In John chapter 1, verse 17, John opens up the gospel with this. He says, the law was given by Moses, but what? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the door to truth. He's the door to grace. He's the door to heaven. He's the door. All these things that I need to know more. I need to be taught by you, God. I need to understand you, God. I need to be strengthened by you, God. I need your truth. Because if I don't have it, I'm wasted. I'm wasted. My soul cleaveth to the dust. So we see these four realizations here in verses 26 through 29. And then in verses 30 through 32, we see six resolutions. So he cries out his needs, but then he says, I'm going to do these things. In verse 30, he says, I'm going to choose truth. He says this, he says, I have what? Chosen the way of truth. So in order to choose the way of truth, you got to have truth come out of you, and you got to be searching for the truth, and you can't be sidetracked by non-truth. He said, I've chosen the way of truth. The second part is found in the last part of this. He says, thy judgments have I laid before me. Okay? Now, the reason they put before me in italics is to try to give the sense of the word. This sense is to be displayed before you. It's to be laid out in front of you. It's so you can sit there and you can observe it. Okay? So you can see it. I'll give you the sense of this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 8 says this. Then and thou shalt bind them. What's the them? The judgments of God. He says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as what? Frontless between thy eyes. He wanted God wanted the nation of Israel, the judgments of His word, to be right in front of their face all the time. That's good doctrine right there, folks. That's good practice right there. Psalm chapter 16, verse 8 says this, I have set the Lord, what? Always before me, in the same sense. I've laid out the Lord before me. I'll consider His ways. Okay? I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. So we see two resolutions here. I've chosen the way of truth. That would be a good prayer tonight, folks. That'd be a good resolution to leave here with tonight. I will always look to your judgments. God, you're going to be my go-to for all these things. Verse 31, we see two more. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. He says, to cling. The word for stuck means to cling, to hang on to cleave. As much as the dust is cleaving to him because of his grief and his agony, he wants to cleave to God's testimonies. Okay? He wants to cling to him. He says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve. And to him shalt thou what? Cleave. Stick. Hold on to. Not let go. Same word as a man will leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. And they'll be what? One flesh. They'll be as one. We need to cleave to God so we be at one with Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And to Him shalt thou cleave and what? swear by his name. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so I shall what? Talk of thy wondrous works. So he says here, I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. What he's really saying is, God, don't let me down. How many of you have been let down by a coworker? How many of you have been let down by someone in your family? How many of you have been let down by someone in the church? Okay? We have a tendency. Who doesn't let us down?
God.
Because if God let us down, we have no hope. Okay? We would have no hope. Psalm chapter 25, verse 2. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Same word for being ashamed. Don't let me down, God. You know something? He says this, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When everything else is gone, there's still God. There's still God. And you know something? Paul in prison, at times that was the only thing he had. He talks about in the Roman prison how everybody's gone. And there's still God. There's still God. Teach me, God. Help me to understand, God. Strengthen me, God. Let me have your truth, God. So when everything else goes away, I still have you. I still have you. So in verse 31, to cling to God's testimonies, and the fourth resolution is that God will not let me down. Then verse 32, we see the last two. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. He makes a resolution to run God's way. Every day, every time we wake up, folks, we have to make a resolution to run God's way. If many men follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If any man be my disciple, deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow him. Paul puts it this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But what? One receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. What he's saying, he says, you run so you win.
That's right.
Okay? You run so you win. God's not going to let you down. So we need to run God's way. Because I guarantee you run God's way, you're going to win. And then the last one is to have God enlarge your heart. That's not to make it bigger physically. Okay? That's to put more God in. You know, think of it like a balloon. You know, you start blowing up a balloon and you put a little bit of air in it. And you keep on blowing it. What happens? Keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Folks, we need God to take our heart and make it bigger and bigger and bigger. The thought is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. God, I need you to teach me. I need to understand. I need you to strengthen me. I need to know your truth. From me, towards me, from you. May be able to what?
Comprehend
with all saints. This is just not a selfish prayer. This is for everybody. This is Paul's prayer for everybody. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and you have to go back to the previous verse to see of what? His love. The same thing is, we need to understand the breadth and length and depth and height of His truth. We need to understand the breadth and length and depth and height of His strength. We need to understand His precepts. We need to understand the significance of His judgments. We need to understand all this stuff. And so, will you resolve like the psalmist tonight to choose the way, to keep Him before you, to cling to Him, to trust in Him, because He's not going to let you down, to run God's way, and to have God fill up your heart, and then when you think you can't, you have enough, He gives you more. He gives you more. We need to have God revive us again. In Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The psalmist says, hey, I have this problem. I'm like a dead man right here. Quicken thou me. Revive me. God's word will revive us. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You, this time of invitation. Father, there's some decision we need to make. Father, help us, Lord, just to take these to the altar, Lord, and just lay them out before You. Father, someone here does not know You. Lord, I just pray that this would be the time of their saying, I need to be taught by You, to understand You, to be strengthened by You, to know Your truth. Lord, have Your Holy Spirit rule right now in our lives and in this place. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.